Start your day the two way, Rabbi David Eisenberg.
Yep, you ready.
Ready, excellent. Good morning. It's a shorter shear, so let's get started. Is that running as well?
Yeah,
okay. All running, all good, Baruch Hashem. Okay, Shaila that happened this week on Friday night that I'd like to discuss with you. It's interesting because I'm learning the halachas about it now with someone, and then it came up, so it made it very practical. I was in Beis Motch on Friday night learning with a chavrusa, and they were having a bar mitzvah the next day. There's going to be a bar mitzvah in the shul. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to make a section for the ladies downstairs. They have, in the corner, they have another door. So they're going to open up that door. They're going to let people in through the door. And they're going to make a mechitza. And so there's going to be a mechitza down the side, whatever it is, for X amount of women that will be able to sit downstairs. Instead of having to sit upstairs and having to hear through some kind of a hole in the roof, they'd actually be on the same floor. So the person was busy putting together the mechitza, and I said to this individual, I said, you know, it's a big shaila if you can put together this mechitza or not. So the person said to me, he must have asked a shaila before him, because, you know, this is a person who's a Yirei Shemaim, so I know that he must have asked a shaila before, and he said, look, let me finish the mechitzas, and then afterwards I'll talk with you halacha. Yeah? So I was a little bit surprised by that answer, because it's the kind of answer I'll hear in my shul, but it's not the kind of answer necessarily you'd hear in a shul like Beis Motch. But we finished, and while he's busy doing it, I took out the Mishabrua and I took out others, and I went through the halacha, and I want to discuss that halacha together with another halacha. There's two halachas that happened. Another one that happened to me 3 years ago, or two and a bit years ago, when I was in camp. I ran a girls' camp. I ran Camp Anos for four out of the last six summers, I would say. Well, it had been five out of the last six summers. This year we didn't have camp, sadly, because for COVID reasons, we weren't able to put it together. But in 2018, as I was running camp, one of the things as the camp rav, one of my responsibilities was setting up an eruv within the campus, an area so that the girls could carry. It just made it a lot easier, because what we had was we had a main building where we had the dormitory rooms and we had the dining room. And then they had another building which was their social hall. This is an old stately school in Cheshire. Beautiful, beautiful grounds. And they had this hall nearby. And it was almost entirely already fenced in. If you went around, you looked this side of the hall was fenced, and then you had hedges, and you had fences, and you had walls, and you had tennis courts. You had mamish kimat the entire way around. You had fences already. And there was only one area that didn't have fences. Can I ask you to close the door, please? Because I'm not going to be able to out-screen them. Thank you so much. So what happened was, in order to make, I mean, forgetting about the Erevin Shabbat, and I'm not so Shabbaki in Erevin at all, but I asked the Shabbos at the time. So the way we were going to make the walls over there is we were going to create a wall made up of, I know it sounds strange, a football goals. That these masses, it was a big stately school, and they had football goals. They had a good 10, 15 of them. And so what we were going to do is we're going to put a football goal. It needed about 25, 30 meters worth of closing off. So what we did was I took a football goal, which was about a full size goal, 3 meters and something, and we put it there. And then you had a bit of a space, and then you put another goal, and you had a bit of a space. And the halacha had to be that the space between the two goals could not be larger than either of the goals on the other side, because otherwise we'll say, oh, savir mahaigis, mahaigis, and mevatale. The halacha will be that the airspace on one side and the other side will be mevato, the goal that's in the middle. So I had to sort of walk, I think it was about 12 feet across every goal, so about 3.5 meters or something like that. Quite a big goal, and then you had a space of about 2.5 to 3 meters, and then another goal and another goal. And I got almost to the end, and I had to schlep these goals from all the way to the other end of this long field. field, and I'm schlepping these girls around the whole field, and usually I would do it with my boys, so my boys would help me, but my boys don't come to girls' camp. So my two older boys were already in the boys' camp, so it's only me schlepping these goals. And I came to the end, the final goal, and I saw there was already six or seven goals across, and there's only one more goal necessary. And I saw this klinchik goal that was lying around, that was on the side over there, and I said, you know what? That's it. That's all I need. I only need another 2-3 meters. I have a little goal about this high, this wide, and I want to put it down over there. Anyway, I wake up the next morning. It's been very windy overnight. And all the goals are still standing, because we're talking about 3-3.5 meter goals this high. They're about a good 7 feet. Yeah, real thing. And the little goal had buckled down. So it didn't come apart, but instead of being standing up, it fell on its side. So the other ones were still standing up. Derech Agav, by the way, the goal in and of itself would not have been enough to make an Eruv. Really what it was is because there was a net across the entire goal, you could use the entire net and create a wall made out of lavud. So that whole piece was like a wall, lehalocha. It wasn't just that I made a tzuras ha-pesach and another tzuras ha-pesach and another tzuras ha-pesach. Each goal really was, and because the wind was, because it had that many holes, as windy as it got, that thing stood and didn't move. So you had this goal and another goal, another goal, and you had one goal that fell down. And my shaila was, can I pick up that goal and straighten it out again so that it's not going to be a mikshel for the girls that they should be able to carry? Or can we not? Now you might say, the question is, how can you straighten out the goal? Mechitesi, you're allowed to carry. You can't carry. Right now there's no Eruv. So by straightening out the goal, you're carrying. So there already you could say that that's not considered carrying, because I've never actually even done nakira to it. It's lying. Imagine if you had something that's lying flat and you just pushed it up. So you didn't really, it never even came off the ground. Nothing. Pardon? It's not a keli. No, you're not even saying a keli, because the keli was there. It was just falling over. It was straightening out. So the shayla was, can you make such a mechitza? Can you not make such a mechitza? Number one is that the shayla was, can you carry like that? And number two, the shayla was, if you did carry like that and it was mutter to carry because it didn't move bichlal, you just folded it one way or another, is it osur or mutter to make such a mechitza? So I'd like to come to the halachas of oil. These are the halachas that I was learning with a chavrusa of mine. Well, so
the net itself is very flimsy.
The net wasn't moving. The interesting thing was that the net was, even in a ruach mitzuya, the net wasn't moving. Because the wind made its way through the net was staying exactly where it is. So that was, I asked the Shai at the time, I said, yeah, that was good enough to consider as a wall. Because the net wasn't, even though, yes, you're right, the net is flimsy. So if I went and I pushed the net, it would move. But at the moment, as it stood, if nobody pushed it, if it was left alone, it stayed there. It wasn't a mechitza metalteles. It didn't move back and forth. So then that was considered okay. So that's the Shailas that we have over here.
When Shabbos came in, it was all kosher
v'yosher. Tassel and Osa is only by Sukkah, so there's no halacha of Tassel and Osa by Erevin, but, pardon? No, there's no Tassel and Osa. There's no Tassel and Osa, only by Sukkah, but, or by Tzitzis. By Tzitzis, you have Tassel and Osa. But, the question is, even if you had an Erevin, you know, we nowadays, if anybody is Soymechan an Erev, wherever it might be, forgetting about Manchester, not Manchester, let's not get into politics, wherever you want to be Soymechan an Erev, chances are you're going to have to be Soymech on Tzuras HaPesach and strings, etc., etc. But anybody check the strings on Shabbos? No, so you're Soymech on the Chazaka. The Chazaka says that the Erev is still good. When it was good Erev Shabbos, it's probably good now as well. But here I can see there is no Chazaka, it's fallen down. If you know for sure that the Erev has come apart, then the Erev is no good. So here the Erev came apart. Now what? That's the two shayas I want to discuss today. And they both have to do with the question of oil and a question which is known as Mechitza HaMateres, which we're going to get into now. So the halacha is, on Shabbos, not only is Boina Osir, there's an Isser called Binyan, but beyond the Isser called Binyan, there's another Isser which is a tolda of Boina, which is called Asiyas Oil. That means, if you make a tent over something, if you're making a structure on top of something, then that's a problem of Asiyas Oil. Now let's just give one or two extra nekudas that are important to realize for this asiyas oil. Number one, you have to be making this oil to shield or to do something underneath it. If it happens to be incidental, then that's not such an issue. So for example, so we'll get into that. Yeah, okay, but the kids who are playing at home, on Shabbos, they are trying to create a tent. Yes, yeah, so we'll have to see. Well, maybe we'll, I don't know if we'll get to that today. I didn't finish all the halachas yet, so I'd rather not say a psak and everything. On that, I might sort of like hold off on. But for example, I mean, I'll give you one shaila that I saw yesterday. So some people say that if you have a hat that has more than a tefach of a brim, where some hats, I remember some friends of mine, they used to wear these massive hats. I was saying that you go to America now, you ask you, what is your son, if your son's wearing a hat in America, what does it look like? This big. You go to America, they all have the tiny little, it's become this style, everybody wears different hats. I checked my hat yesterday, this is a few years old. This one is be'erach 6-7 centimeters across. You have 9.5 centimeters, 10 centimeters, you still need a lot more. But I remember I had friends that used to wear mamish, what my father used to call the sombreros. The shaila is, if you have a hat that's got a tefach of a brim, maybe you have a problem, yasiyas oil. So I saw yesterday, he brings in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, the reason why there you don't have a siyas oil is because when I wear such a hat, why are people wearing hats with bigger brims or smaller brims? What's the reason for that? Fashion, exactly. Nothing to do with shielding yourself from the sun. Does anybody even use their hat on Shabbos or during the week to shield themselves from the sun? Not very much. If you're wearing a cap is different. Like, you know, you wear one of those sports caps. Those are really used for shielding from the sun. So there, that might be a bigger shaila. I'm sorry?
You have a lot of people that don't necessarily always wear a hat.
Okay, that's different. That you're shielding, again, but there I don't think it's the brim. You're not being soimach on the brim. You're being soimach on the hat that's covering your head. I think it's not the brim itself. The real shiloh will be, Rabbi Nachman David, the real shiloh will be when you get women that wear these very, you know, those floppy, big hats that women wear sometimes to shield themselves from the sun. Those could be a shiloh maybe on Shabbos. But there already, you're looking at a brim that's much bigger. You know what you're talking about? You know, they have like these floppy brims. These women, they wear these like big behemoths of a hat. Yeah? So you have sometimes, but when you have a hat, a regular hat that a person's wearing...
But not necessarily. If you go to some hot place, hot climate,
yes. So sombrero, yeah? So you go into sombrero, might be a shaila, because they're already wearing it for the sun. So there you have to ask a shaila. But I'm just mentioning now, I don't want to get into hats too much, but I'm just mentioning that I saw, I think it was Rabbi Yashiv said, that in the case of a Borsellino hat, because the width of the hat is really only style, it's not there to shade what's below it, it's not considered an oil. So if you put something up, now, you also need to have walls around, and normally the halacha of an oil is, and an oil is only considered an oil if it has walls and something above it. However, there is an exception. And the exception to that rule is, if the awning, the covering that you create, has a function even without walls around it, then that's problematic. So for example, let's say you're creating an area where you can stand underneath the rain. So you have, a lot of people have outside their house, they have like a thing sticking out, so that if somebody comes and knocks on your door, it's raining, until you get to the door, you don't have to feel bad that Yena Meshuluch or Yena Kid's friend or whatever it is standing and getting drenched in the rain. So that, sometimes it has sort of like a whole, you know, it's got a whole surrounding walls, but sometimes you'll be dealing with just a roof. You just have a piece of corrugated roof. I've seen it in people's houses. They have a piece of corrugated roofing that sticks out, that's being held up by two poles, and it's just that you can stand under there, you don't get wet. Is that considered an oil? So the chayr, according to the rules of oil that we just said, that shouldn't be considered an oil, because an oil is only something that has walls on the side and a roof on top. This doesn't have any walls on the side. This only has two sticks that are holding it up. Nevertheless, the halacha says, in an instance where the roof that you have has a functional purpose for what's below it, even without walls, as in this instance that I just mentioned, you've created an area where people can stand outside your house and not get wet, so you've saved people from getting wet, that's considered an oil, even without walls around it. Similarly, if that area was there for shade, if you save people from getting too much sun on them, even if it doesn't have walls, that's considered an oyel as well. Okay, so those are some of the halachas of oyel. I don't want to get too much into the halachas of oyel. But now comes the following halacha. Is there a halacha called oyel on a vertical thing? So until now we said an oyel is an awning, it's something that's horizontal that covers over you. Could there be an oyel for something that's vertical? So here the halacha says the following. This is in Simen Shin Tes Vav Sif Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. It says, also lasses oyel v'shabes v'yom nafilu arai. So we didn't even get into the what oyel kev and oyel arai over here. I don't get too much in the halachas of oyel. Maybe if we do have a part two of this, we'll get more into some of the other halachas of oyel, umbrellas, and then opening up chairs and opening up tables. There are all sorts of shayas that come up, putting a tablecloth on a table. There'll be all sorts of shayas that could come up. But halacha is, you're not allowed to make an oyel. If you're making an oyel kev on Shabbos, that means you've made an oyel that's going to remain for long term. That's awesome. Long term is interesting. I think I saw in the Aruch HaShabbos, he quotes a Sha'atzin that says Kama Yomim. And the Kama Yomim becomes very Neigeya, Derech Agav, for Sukkos. Anybody ever have a Schach that went blowing off their Sukkah? So we had Schach that blew off our Sukkah. I was still pretty new in Manchester. Probably my second or third year that I was living in Manchester. And we made a Sukkah. I learned a lot about Sukkahs in Manchester. I made a Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. What do? You put it together, you put it up, and then finish. I came here, I bought a sukkah, and somebody said to me, what are you having as a roof? I'm like, who needs a roof on a sukkah? They're like, oh, you've not lived in Manchester before, have you? Of course you need a roof on the sukkah. So until you start, everybody starts coming up with all sorts of patenting, and you become a joiner, and you become a builder, and then everybody comes up with this and that. I'm not spending £600 on their roof, I'm going to make my own roof, and it takes you 3 days to make the roof, and it rains, and anyway. So one of the things I didn't realize is that it's very windy, and as you saw, Achschach never came flying off. But here we had a sukkah, one of the sukkah mart sukkahs, and it was windy, and my schach, off. I woke up the next morning, and I looked outside. It had rained, I think, the night before, and I woke up the next morning, I looked outside, and I'm looking at my sukkah, and I see a beautiful structure without any schach on top. And my schach mat was in my goyish next door neighbor's garden. So then the shaila become, can you ask a goy to put the schach back on? Because that's like an asiyas oil. Because you're putting it on for shade. It's there already. So, okay, look it up. Simen Tov Reish Chavav. There's a Bikuri Yaakov about it. There's a lot of shaylas. We asked the shayla to one rav, and he says, yes, we're allowed to do it. So we got the guy to do it. And then it blew off a second time. And we asked the shayla to another rav, and said, we weren't allowed to do it. We ended up eating out for the last three meals of Yom Tov. So it wasn't so bad. You know, we managed. At the time we were, for one meal that had already finished, we had to get a guy to carry our stuff on Shabbos across King's Road to be able to eat by my next door neighbor in his sukkah, and then the other two suitors we got invited out, it was finished, we managed. But that's a shaylef, kama yomim, so how many days it need to be on? Because if it's sort of halfway through Yom Tov, there's 2 days left to Yom Tov, you might not have a shaylef even of an oil keva, you might have a shaylef oil arai putting back that schach. Okay. Ein Shom, and it might be kedai to speak about that at a different time. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that that's all right. V'davka gag, that's only the halacha where you make a roof. Ava mechitza, if you make a mechitza, which is a vertical thing, mutter. V'ein mechitza asura. Now says the Shulchan Aruch, the only time the mechitza can be asur anyway, midin oyel, elein kenasis lehatir sukkah. The only time a mechitza will be osur is if you create a mechitza that's matir sukkah, oy lehatir tiltul, or to allow you to carry. This is known as mechitza hamateris. This concept is known as mechitza hamateris, a mechitza that gives you a heter that creates some halachic heter. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that a mechitza that is made in order to create a third wall in a sukkah to be machshir your sukkah, or a mechitza that is made that's allowing you now to carry, is also to make. So let's come back to the first thing that I said, the second shayla that I asked, which was the goal. So the goal fell down, and you want to prop the goal back up. Are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that. The teretz is, even if there's no issue of carrying whatsoever, by tilting the goal from one side to the other, it is still osur. Why? Because that's osur midin asiyas oil. Asiyas, yes, it's only midrabbanan because it's asiyas oil arai, because you don't need it beyond, it was already Shabbos morning, and beyond Motzei Shabbos, we don't need it. I'm happy to move the goals on Motzei Shabbos. I don't even need it for 24 hours, not even an entire day. However, this mechitza, if I prop up this football goal, what I've now done, I've created a vertical wall, and the vertical wall that I've created is going to create a heter for me to allow to carry, and the Shulchan Aruch says mefurish, that if a mechitza that you make, lahater asuka, lahater tiltul, is osur. And therefore, the halacha is, you cannot prop up that goal, which is what we did not prop up the goal. So we had to leave it down. Yeah. No, so that's different because you're not making, because it has a hinge, you're allowed to do it. Okay, so I think that's considered part of the walls of the sukkah. So I think that people say that that's still okay. Anyway. Huh? Yes, it's the same thing. Why are you allowed to open and close the roof? Why is that not considered oil? Because it's on a hinge. So therefore, even though normally if you were to put a roof on top of something that's also, when it's on a hinge, it's mutter. So this also, I think, is the same thing. That was because it's on a hinge, it'll be mutter. Because it's meant to open and close.
It's joined to the ground.
Huh?
Because it's joined to the ground.
Yeah, it's joined to the ground, and it's got a hinge just that it opens and closes. I don't know what the patio door. Are you talking about one of those accordion doors? Which ones are you talking about? Whatever. Okay. You'd have to see. It's very possible, by the way, that even if you had one of those, that you still have a structure that's like a Tzuras HaPesach that would still allow you to have a Sukkah B'di'eved. If you have seven Tvachim in a Tzuras HaPesach, that might still work. So, even if you open up your patio door, Lav Dafka, does that pass on the Sukkah Midai Raisa? Yes, is it better to have a full wall? Of course. Yes, Rabbi Bergson.
Are you saying that, based on what you're saying about the hinge, that if you have a tarpaulin which doesn't have a hinge,
so the tarpaulin you can pull on and off if it is at least a tefach open. So when you pull it back, you have to leave a small area of it open, still overhanging the sukkah. And as long as you have a small area that's overhanging the sukkah,
leave some of it on the sukkah.
Yes. So yeah, leave some of it on the sukkah, and that's called a peseach tefach. And if you have a peseach tefach, so then the halacha is that's already called tosefes oil. All right. Again, I need to finish this year over here. It means a shame if we have another year about oil. But the bottom line is, if you have it open a tefach, or if it's tied to it, then there's still that term over there. Yeah. Okay. Now comes to the shaila of the mechitza. So the Ramah adds the following. The Ramah says, what if you have a mechitza hanasis litznius ba'almashari? The Ramah says that even though a mechitza hamateres is osur, a mechitza that's made for tznius only is mutter. Explains the Mishnah Berurah, what's a tznius? And he's quoting the Motcha. And then the Mishnah Berurah says this case, or the Motcha says this case. Lehav kigoin. For example, lehafzik bein anoshim the noshim kishashoimim hadrosha. When it's mafzik between men and women whilst they're hearing a drosha. Now, when I learned this Mishnah Berurah, I was a little perplexed. Because if I would have said to be mafzik between men and women, the instance that I would have given is not so much to be mafzik by a drosha. What would you have said? By davening. That's much more shriachtik case. How many times do you hear droshas together with women? But how many times do you daven together with women? Davening with women, ma'is mechol yom, right? The women that come sometimes to shul, you know, even during the week, so you need to have a mechitza for the women to be able to daven there. How many times do you have a drosha where you're sitting together with women? Doesn't happen so often. Yet the Mishnah Berurah brings that. So my thought at first was, could be that the reason the Mishnah Berurah is bringing a drosha and is not bringing the davening is because by davening it's more than tznius ve'alma. It has a din that you have a chiyuv to have a mechitza. And if you have a chiyuv to have a mechitza and it's not only tznius ve'alma, then it'll be mechitza matetz. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. So that's what I was saying to him. I said, look, you're putting up a mechitza over here. How can you put up a mechitza? It's a mechitza matetz. The Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, it's tznius ve'alma, that's for a drosha, but maybe for davening that's still problematic. So what I then did is I remember there was a footnote in the Dush of Mishnah Berurah, but I took out the Aruch HaShabbos. And the Aruch HaShabbos, he actually says, instead of using the word drosha, he says for davening also. Even for davening, that's also included what the Ramah says over here, mechitza nasis letznius v'amashari. And therefore, if you had a mechitza that you needed to put up for davening on Shabbos, it would be mutter to make such a mechitza because it's only letznius v'alma. ask the Archa Shabbos the question, and with this we'll finish. We'll see how long it takes to finish this, but with this we'll finish. Ask the Archa Shabbos the question, I don't understand. If there's a mitzvah deraisa to have a mechitza between men and women when they're davening, which he quotes Reb Moshe in our Chaim Aleph, in his Igros Moshe, who says there's a din deraisa that you need to have a mechitza. So you have a din deraisa that you need to have a mechitza between men and women when they're davening. How can you tell me, therefore, that this mechitza is not a mechitza hamateres? It is. It's being mati you now to daven in this room. You have the women next to you. You're davening over here. You couldn't daven like that. You put the mechitza between the two of you. Now you could daven like that. That's a mechitza materes. Why is that not considered a mechitza materes? So to this says the Archa Shabbos a svara. But I think his svara is really, I don't know why he doesn't base it on that, but I think his svara is really based on a Mogen Avram that's brought over here in Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Yud. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah continues, what happens if you have somebody who is in a room with svarim, and let's say in the olden days, they didn't have sanitation like we have nowadays, the person wants to excuse himself. But you can't excuse yourself with svarim in the room. Now you might say, okay, if it's one sefer, just take the sefer out. But sometimes, not just one sefer. Sometimes you stay in a guest room. I don't know if you've ever stayed in a guest room, but I've stayed in guest rooms with my wife and my family, and there's a noise of svarim in the guest room. Yeah? And it makes things very, very difficult. Leil Shabbos, it sometimes becomes very, very awkward, because look at all these svarim over here. It's also be meshamesh l'ara svarim. So you want to make a mechitza for that reason. Or, there's a light. And the halacha is, you cannot be meshamesh in front of a light. So you need to make a mechitza for that. So are you allowed to make a mechitza or not? So the Ramah says, you're not allowed to make a mechitza for such a thing. I will also ask a mechitza b'fnei araner k'tei she'shamash mitosoi. V'chein l'fnei asvarim k'tei she'shamash alas asochot. You're not allowed to make mechitza for tashmish in front of a ner, or in front of svarim in order to be able to use a toilet of a tashmish. So the Mogen Avraham says, but there is a difference. He says, it depends what your mechitza is doing. Is your mechitza making it into another room? Or is your mechitza merely blocking something out? What's the halacha over here? What's the difference? The difference is whether this is a mechitza or whether this is just something that blocks. So he says, if I'm creating a mechitza, let's say I have svarim over here, and I create a mechitza between the svarim for me now to be allowed to use the toilet on the other side. And I create a proper mechitza. And now this mechitza is 10 tefachim, and by making mechitza now that's 10 tefachim, that says this half of the room is one room, and this half of the room is another room. So I've created a mechitza hamateras on Shabbos. I've created a mechitza that now allows me to use the toilet. So then that's a real issue, because that's a mechitza hamateras. What happens if I just cover over the svarim? Or I create a barrier in front of the light so that the light can shine through? But it doesn't have the halachas of a mechitza to create another room. What's the halacha there? There the halacha is. That's okay. Why? Says the Mogen Avraham, because that's not a mechitza. The din mechitza amateres is totally on the word, as I said, mechitza. When it's not a mechitza, then it's not an issue. So I create, for example, and that's what he's saying over here, that's the reason he says also by the women. By the women, there's no din you need to have a mechitza that creates the woman in another room. That's not the halacha. He brings even that if you had a mechitza, let's say you had a mechitza like you had in the back over there, right? And that cloth that hangs down only hung down till about this high. So it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground. Is that still a mechitza? Can you daven such a mechitza with a woman behind it? Yeah. Would you say maybe lechatchila you should have one hanging all the way to the bottom? If you want to. But can you daven with that between the men and the women even if it doesn't hang on the bottom to the ground? Yes. It doesn't have the halachas of what a mechitza needs. Midine mechitza as a wall to create a wall between me and them. The answer is I don't need a brick wall between me and my wife to daven. Or between me and another woman. I just need to not be able to see her. So how do I make sure I don't see her? You put something in between. So as long as it doesn't have the halachas of, and that's what he's saying, mitznias ma'amashari. Since I don't need to have a mechitza between me and the women to be able to daven, all I need to do is to create a barrier that I can see them. So I can create a barrier with anything. I can create a barrier with a tablecloth. I can create a barrier with a hanging drape that moves back and forth in the wind. It has no din mechitza. It blows back and forth all the time. You tell me, is that mechitza? No, look how it's blowing back and forth. Can I daven like that? Yes. Why? I don't need a mechitza. And therefore, when this person was setting up the mechitzas in Beis Motcha, he was right and I was wrong. You're allowed to set up such a mechitza because that's only the tznias ba'alma. You don't need a mechitza. It's not considered a mechitza hamateres, and that will be mutter. Okay, Rabbi said, thank you very much. It's Hashem. Anyway, Saint Kaddish. Amen. Amen.